And they're off. Evening. Good to be here again. I'm sorry we have to be invited on a special time to be here, but we're usually somewhere else when we're not here. Believe that? I was asked earlier, I forget who it was that asked me, well, where have you been? I said, well, the father's place was Mongolia. And where's Mongolia? It's a little north of here. If you go 12, 15,000 miles, it's north of here. It's right on the opposite side of the globe, right between China and Russia. I found out some years ago that there was not a Church of Christ in the entire country. 3 million people, no Church of Christ. There were denominational churches, but there was not a single Church of Christ. And I thought, well, somebody ought to go there and plant one. And then I found out I was somebody. So I made mention of it to a couple of our graduates, actually, and they said, I'll go with you. You will? Okay, so been there three times, 15, 16, and just returned 1st of June. Planned the church, many people there that were able to teach and baptize. This time I was able to teach and baptize a Presbyterian leader in the Presbyterian church, and he is now the Church of Christ preacher for the Church of Christ in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. So if any of you wants to take a trip, well, no, if any of you wants to take a trip around the world, see me. I'd love for you to go with me. I plan on going back, and the Lord hopefully will continue to bless us in that effort. I still work with the Bear Valley Bible Institute, of course. Pam and I travel. She's with grandkids tonight. She's not here with us, but we still travel 6-7 months out of the year to find some more Kirk Hewitts back when he was single before Kelly found him at Bear Valley, right? That's where y'all met. And so I'm looking for some more of you. So just you help me find them, okay? I know you don't want to get rid of him. No, okay. Scared me there for a minute, Kurt. Thought we'd have some yays, but all were nays. That's good. I got to break the silence somehow. I know that on this subject, I'm talking to the choir. Because if I were to ask, are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to heaven, hopefully everyone will say, amen. You bet. I don't doubt that in the least. However, being as I'm talking to the choir, I can talk about somebody else, right? Because they're not here. Some people will say, well, I hope, not sure. Maybe if I'm good enough, maybe I can barely get in. And they'll go over to 2 Peter and talk about that passage. If the righteous are scarcely saved, where will the ungodly be? And you think, oh, you mean if the righteous people, he's talking about judgment. If the righteous in judgment are barely saved from the enemy, where's the people that are ungodly going to wind up? Of course, they're going to wind up conquered or killed by the enemy. So he's not talking about eternal reward there. He's talking about judgment. But anyway, he's talking about us here as to things we can be sure of. Things, well, I hate to say that we can take to the bank, because that's not real stable, is it? I asked a banker the other day, I said, what CDs are paying now in interest? And that was my answer. You know, nothing. You know, so you need to invest in something else if you have something to invest to try to make a little out of what the talent God has given us. But to start off, I've decided to start off a little on the negative side. Not about what God has done, but what some people have said that you may recognize their name. Now, our country, as you well know, was founded upon godly principles. In fact, if you've ever seen a video by David Barton called America's Godly Heritage, and there's several of them out there nowadays, wow. Talks about the Revolutionary War, talks about George Washington, talks about the signing of the Declaration of Independence, talks about, oh my, it is phenomenal how our country came into being and what we are based upon. He actually says that from doing research, finds out that the number one book that all of the founding fathers, all what, 55 of them signed on that Declaration of Independence, when they would come together to meet to talk about what's going to be in this document, the number one book they would refer to. You know which one it was? One book out of that book. Deuteronomy. Because they said Deuteronomy is a statement of the law God gave to his people. And so when they would come back, one of them would say, I was reading last night over in chapter, whatever. And this is what God said. And here, our whole country has been built upon that for over 200 years now. And I'm afraid, no, I'm scared half to death. And I don't know what happens if you get scared half to death twice. That we're going away from God. Children can't pray in school anymore, you know. Prayed in school all my growing up, every day. Every day we'd have prayer, and we would recite what's known as, quote, Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. At least we were in the Bible, and we'd have a scripture reading. Well, I understand now that some of the teachers, if you take your Bible to class, you could be fired. What has happened in the last... Now, I graduated in 19... None of your business when I graduated with it. It was a long time ago, but here's what I want to read you, some of the comments that some of the people, you'll recognize probably many of these names, that have made multi-millions of dollars in this country that was established on godly principles. For example, Frank Lloyd Wright. I believe in God, only I spell it nature, Mother Nature. Really? Woody Allen, anyone recognize that name? Not only is there no God, but try getting a plumber on a weekend, making a joke out of it. Thomas Edison, anyone recognize that name? Thomas Edison says, I've never seen the slightest scientific proof of the religious ideas of heaven and hell, of future life or individuals, or of a personal God. So far as religion of the day is concerned, it's a fake. Religion is all bunk. Thomas Edison? Katharine Hepburn, anyone remember this name of this actress? She says, I'm an atheist, and that's it. I believe there's nothing we can know except that we should be kind to each other and do what we can for each other. Where'd you get that theory? Catherine, you need to examine why you believe that. God gave us that command. God gave us to do good to all people, didn't he? But Catherine didn't believe it. Andrew Rooney of 60 Minutes. You may recognize that name. I'm an atheist, he says. I don't understand religion at all. I realize that. You should have picked up this book, Andy. I am sure I offend a lot of people by saying this, but I think it's all nonsense. That is what some of the people... And, oh, you may recognize this name. Bill Gates. Anybody recognize him? Microsoft founder. Estimated right now, I think, at $53 billion man. Probably the richest man in all the world in terms of money. In terms of doing things, I take a fairly scientific approach to why things happen and how they happen. I don't know if there's a God or not, but I think religious principles are quite valid. Who cares if these people and multitudes of others don't believe in God or eternity? We do. Well, thank you, Bill, for at least saying, yeah, I believe there is a God. What about his promises? What about what he said? Is he truthful? Can God be trusted? And I know the answer to all of those questions ourselves. And sometimes we have to add a little humor in what we say and think. I'd like to read you a few things that make more sense to me than the people that I just read about. You ever hear of Yogi Berra? You ever hear some of Yogiisms? like he says, baseball is 90% mental and the other half is physical. You have to think about what Yogi is saying, and I'm bringing up a point, okay? Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. You got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you might not get there. When it comes to the fork in the road, take it. You should always go to other people's funerals or they won't come to yours. And then there's a time he met a lady and she said, good afternoon, Mr. Bear. You look mighty cool today. And he said, well, thank you, ma'am. You don't look so hot yourself. Euphemisms. We're full of them. And like I started out saying, there are so many people in religion today, and I put a blanket over that, that just say, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. Well, I can answer that one for you in a hurry. You're not. The only human being that ever lived on this earth that was good enough to go to heaven came from heaven. And that was Jesus. I have thought many times about him being a teenager. What were you like when you were a teenager? Do you like yourself now when you were a teenager then? I was dumb as dirt. I wasn't raised in a religious family. I wasn't raised in the church. We weren't even raised going to church until I was 14, 15 years old. And then didn't know anything about it at all. I just went there because that's where all the other teenagers went, in this little country denominational church. And then I met a little 15-year-old girl. Her name was Pamela. And I asked her if I could take her to the movie on Sunday night. She said, if you'll go to church with me first. I said, I'll just pick you up outside the building. When she said, no, if you won't go to church with me, I won't go to the movie with you. Hard-headed woman. And I thought, well, I'll get to see her an hour before, because church starts at 6. Movie doesn't start till 7:30. And I'll get to sit by her, and I'll put my arm on the back of the pew. And the more I did that, and the more I listened, the more I thought, wait a minute. What I've been taught, which was little of nothing, was wrong. And so finally, about a year later, I obeyed the gospel. A lot of the people, that's been 57 years ago, brethren. That's how long Pam and I have been married. Just celebrated our 57th wedding anniversary, 24th of last month. And I said that some of the people that doubted my sincerity at that time are starting to change their mind. Maybe he was serious. Maybe he did know what he was doing as a 19-year-old boy. Pam was 16, I was 19. I don't recommend that, okay? It worked out for us because of one reason, I think. The church was the center of our life. It has been for those 57 years. And if someone would have asked me at age 19, whenever I came up out of the water, Bill, you believe you're going to heaven? Well, yeah. What do you think I accepted Christ for? Well, of course I am. Why? Aren't you sure? Well, no, I'm not really sure. Let me ask some questions. Number one, you believe in God. You can do this. That means you can do this, I guess, if you want to. We believe in God. Amen, church?
Amen.
Wow. Do we believe His word?
Amen.
To be infallible.
Amen.
That means there's not an error. There's not anything in here that's wrong. Everything, every promise, every command, every law is accurate. True? We believe that with all our heart. I do not doubt any promise that God has given us. Not one single one. In Romans chapter 6, Paul starts out by saying, being justified, therefore, by faith. Faith is, in the Greek language, is something that you have an obedient trust in. And he goes on down to tell us, of course, in verse 8 of chapter 5, while we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. Much more then, Paul uses that three times in that chapter. So he said, where sin abounds, much more does grace abound. How much grace does it take to save us? Are we kind of like Paul? 1 Timothy 3:15? Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that I am the chief of sinners. I kind of argue with Paul. Wait a minute, Paul. You may have been chief in your day, but I think I'm running a pretty good first place in this century. If you'd have known that, you wouldn't even ask me to come up here and speak, would you? Or are you sitting there thinking, no, Bill, I'm right there with you. Yeah, we all are. Every one of us sitting in this room. We're right there together with Paul. And then he says, chapter 6, shall we continue in sin just so grace can abound? And what one phrase, God forbid. Here Jesus, I remember my teenage years. Sometimes my kids, and especially my grandkids, Popo, you were a teenager? Yeah, I was your age once, believe it or not. And to believe, and I believe this, to believe that Jesus, the man, fully God, fully human, came to this earth, lived through his teenage years up until his 30s, and never once sinned. You believe that? Well, of course, Hebrews 4:15 says that. He was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet he never sinned. Now, do you find that hard to believe? You think, well, he was God. That's not the point. That's not the point the Hebrew writer was making. The point the Hebrew writer was making, he was totally human, and he lived above sin to prove you can, and you can, and all of us can live above sin. We can stop it. But what's going to happen to all those sins that we did before? Brethren, we got to have grace. Oh, man. Double scoopful of grace in order for God to be able to save us. And that's what he's promised. That's what he has given us. And his word is sure. Whenever he tells us, I want to go to the passage just in a moment. Whenever he tells us that I am giving you salvation. Thank you. I don't deserve it. I've broken your laws. I've done so many things. God, and God said, I know it. I wasn't born yesterday. God knows it. And I know exactly what you've done. And they've all been blotted out. Wow. Man, I'm getting pretty excited about this deal. You mean all of those things I've said and done and places I've gone and how I've acted is kind of like one of these slate boards? I don't know where you still have them as toys nowadays, but years ago you could write on them even with your finger, and then you could raise it up, and then they're all gone, and you could start all over again. That's what God does. He takes care of our sins. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who have died to sin, that's what he's talking about. We who have died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein? We can't. And then verse 3 and 4, of course, he goes into being therefore baptized into Christ Jesus. We were buried, verse 4, with him by baptism. If we have been planted, verse 5, in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Those are promises. Those are sure. It's not that God gives us laws and promises and then says, you better go check that out. Maybe that's right. Maybe that'll pan out to be the truth. You guys better go check it out. No, there's not anything like that. When God makes a statement, it's true. It's not maybe. It's not I hope so's. It is true all the way through. Never tells us something and then changes it on us. It's always truth in every way. God created gravity. It works sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. You trip on something, what's going to ensue? You're going to fall. Not sometimes, not most of the times. You're going to fall every time. If I picked up this recorder, which I won't, and I just let go of it out here, Kirk would be diving to catch it, because gravity is going to take over. Not some of the times, not once in a while, not if you're up on a high building. No, it's going to take over every time. Have you noticed that fire is hot? You ever gotten too close to it? You ever notice that ice is cold, right the opposite? The parity form? You can only hold it in your hand for a few seconds maybe till it actually starts hurting. All the time. Ice is never hot. Fire is never cold. Why? God put them in this natural realm for a purpose, for a reason. And he's also given us the promise that if we'll follow the natural realm, if we will do what he says, I'll give you a promise, God says. Not some of the time. Let me pick out some of the good-looking people here. There's quite a few of them. Well, I'll cull some of you, but... No, God's not that way. It's the people that follow him, believe in him. In John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus, of course, you remember, talking about the shepherd. If a shepherd comes up to the sheepfold in any other way, he's a thief and a liar. Don't listen to him. He goes on down in that chapter and says, I am the good shepherd. In fact, I will lay down my life for the sheep, that I might take it up again. And of course, the people, the Jews that were against him, got so irritated at him. Because they say, you are calling God your father. And that's making you equal to the Father, because he's your Father. Can you believe that my father was a human? You're kind of doubting, don't you? My father was a human, and his father before him was a human. Well, of course, if Jesus' father was deity, what does that make him? Deity. And of course, he asked them later on, which of the miracles have I done? Raising dead people, curing lepers, giving sight back to people that can't see, deaf back to the hearing back to the deaf. Which one of these that go beyond the outer boundaries of nature have I done to prove that I am deity? Which one of these do you not believe? Oh, it's not those, they said. It's not those miraculous things you did to prove who you are. It's because you say you are. What? I get amused and aggravated sometimes at the Jews as they tried to defeat God on earth. Jesus did everything they could. In verse 27 of chapter 10, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My Father, who's greater than I am, gave them to me, and not one of them are going to fall away from his hand. Because I and the Father, what does he say? Are one. And they picked up stones going to kill him for stating the truth. We got people today on this earth that have been born in this country that were founded upon godly principles that are trying to do the same thing. God's real. His laws are real. They're fair. They help us in every way to live the life He wants us to live in this country, in this world. But what promise then has He given us? Well, now that you ask, let's look. Look at John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, Jesus heals a man at the pool of Siloam. Of course, it was on, what day was that? The Sabbath. It was on the Sabbath day. Well, they couldn't condemn him because he asked them, is it good to do good on the Sabbath day or do evil? And they wouldn't answer him. Because it's right to do good on any day, especially the Sabbath day. But he went on down. Look with me, beginning in verse 22. John 5 and verse 22. He says, for neither doth the Father judge any, but he had given all judgment to the Son. What does Jesus say in Matthew 28:18? All authority has been given to me, Jesus says. In verse 23, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. Verily, verily. Kurt may not remember this, but I taught him Luke, one of the books. And several times, maybe in your King James Version or some other version, it'll say truly, truly, or verily, verily. Why does he repeat truly, truly, verily, verily? What he is saying is, listen up. You better pay attention to what I'm going to say here. This is important. And I will forget when I was teaching Luke, we'd come across that or we'd come across a point. And I said, fellas, write this down. And they say, is it a verily, verily? I said, yes, this is a verily, verily statement. I want you to remember this. You'll see it again on your exam probably. But Jesus is saying, listen to what I'm telling you. He says, I say unto you, he that heareth, heareth. The King James and American Standard. I'm reading from the American Standard. That's what Paul carried. The American Standard Version. Oh, you don't believe that? In order to keep the verb tense correct, King James, American Standard, on a present, active, indicative verb. You say, what in the world? A present active indicative verb means it is a continued action. It never stops. Well, you remember in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, when he talks about he that believeth in me, believeth. It has the E-T-H on the end of that word. On the newer of the later versions that you have now, won't have that. But the American Standard is still known as, 1901 translation, is still known as one of the most accurate verb tenses of all the translations. This is one of the reasons. So when Jesus says, he that heareth continues to hear, doesn't hear it one time and stops. It's a continued action in this verb. He that heareth my word and believeth. The E-T-H on the end of that believeth word. Now, the word believe is an obedient trust. Well, yeah, I was obedient back in 19. I said, what year was that? No, it's not I was back then. I still am today. I will never stop believing in Jesus. And I'll show you that by my life. And you do the same with me. We show each other that we continually believe what Jesus' promises are. And he that believeth him that sent me hath. Yours probably says has, if you have a later translation. But the American Standard says hath. Continued action never stops. Has what? Eternal life. That is a quality, not just a duration. Let me explain. If we go on down to verse 28 and 29, he says, you marvel at this miracle that I just did by healing this man? I tell you, in one day, all that are in the tombs are going to hear my voice and come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil, well, condemnation. Jesus is proving by his words, if we happen to believe his words, if we will continue, we obeyed the gospel that put us into Christ, and we are staying faithful to that promise that we made to God. I know, God, I'm not much. I would say not worth saving. And God would say, oh, yes, you are. Oh, yes, you are. You are worth saving. And I'll send my son to earth to die on a cross for you, to prove that you're worth saving. Thank you, Father. That's wonderful. That makes me feel so important, so honored that I'm going to go out and sin the first chance I get. God forbid, as Paul says. In no way will I do that, nor will you. Because Jesus has promised us, and his promises are true. He has promised us that quality of life in heaven. Let me close. Let me close by one passage way over in 1 John. You probably was wondering, when are you ever going to get to 1 John? Well, we're there. 1 John, and one of our graduates, Stephen Ashcraft. None of you probably know Stephen. He's from Arkansas. That makes him important, because I'm from Arkansas. He divorced his wife because of his unfaithfulness back 25, 30 years ago. They had two little girls. He was a contractor, and I don't know what all Stephen did, but finally obeyed the gospel. And he started studying, and the more he studied, the more he wanted to study, and he decided, I want to go to Bear Valley. I want to really know God's word. He enrolled at Bear Valley as a single man, knowing he could never remarry. He graduated as the valedictorian of his class, brilliant man, decided to go to Ghana, Africa, and preach. He went over there, started preaching. We have, I think, three schools now in Ghana because of Steve. He began talking, I don't know all the particulars, but began talking with his ex-wife, who had never remarried. And he told her that he was a different man than what he had been 20 years before. And if he paid for her plane ticket, would she come to Ghana and see what he's doing? Well, for some reason, she was curious enough that she did. When she got there, he taught her the gospel and baptized her, and they were remarried. That'd make a movie, wouldn't it? You think that's wonderful. Because Steve was preaching, I won't tell you where, but he was preaching at a congregation that had supported him through school, and he was preaching on the assurance of salvation, what we're talking about here. Can we really know? The elders of that congregation got so upset at him, they told him he would never be asked to speak there again. They quit supporting him. I went there to make a Bear Valley presentation unbeknownst to all of this. And they got mad at me and marked me as a false teacher. They even called Dr. Petrella, who's the president, of course, you know Denny, he was here a few weeks ago. Of course, he told them the same thing. He went to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Now they've got the whole school marked off as denominational teaching. Because you can't know that. What? I wanted to get through sometime and study with these elders, but I don't know if they would or not. But to me, it's hard to get past this verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things write I unto you, that you may think, you may hope, you may maybe have eternal life. Is that what the scriptures say? Now, we said starting off that we believe in God. We believe on the infallibility of scripture, that it is true down to every word in it. And here he says, these things write I unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. There's no doubt. In a Bible premise of the assurance of our salvation. Because Jesus died on the cross, went through a horrific beating and death on the cross in order to assure us. My promises are true. When I told you, if you will continue to follow me all the days of your life, your eternal destiny is sure. Now, should we stop? Okay. If we stop following him, obviously our eternal destiny. So I'm not saying that a person cannot fall from the graces of God. Yeah, they can. But if we stay faithful, and I think that's what all of us in this room are going to promise each other we're going to do, then we have the quality of life that Jesus has promised us. Even though not a one of us in here are perfect, he's going to clean that slate all over again because we're walking in the light. Thank you much. And the church said,